blessing. Amen. Brother T.D. Burgess has been with us many times here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. He's come every other year now, ever since I've been here. But some people are new here, and a lot of people in the media audience. Brother T.D. Burgess is 86 years old. Amen. He said he's got the body of a 62-year-old. Amen. And that's what his doctor said. Amen. But he's a great man of God, pastored many years, great churches, full-time evangelism. Started 26 years ago, the Smoky Mountain Jubilee over in Pigeon Fort or Sevierville. And now, they have about 3,000 people to show up there every year for that. God's used him. Some of you going on a cruise in February with us. Brother T.D. was instrumental in getting that started several years ago. The Jubilee at Sea and the singing and great preaching on the cruise ship. So I want you to make welcome back to the pulpit of Benson Grove Baptist Church, Evangelist T.D. Burgess from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amen. God bless you, T.D.
2 John chapter 1. It's always in there. 2 John, I'm honored to be here. At my age, it's just wonderful to be here and serve the Lord. Brother Billy, every year that I preach for him, he got saved again, so maybe this is another time. But, it's just wonderful. Now, it's amazing how fast. I did check out like a 62-year-old man, my doctor said. So actually, that's how old I am. And my wife checked out to be a 60-year-old woman. And that give her the big head. But anyway, how wonderful, how wonderful. And then I met a precious lady from Chilhowee, Virginia. If I was going to move anywhere, I'd move to Chilhowee, Virginia, that beautiful, beautiful rolling hills up there and all that. But anyway, God's been good and precious. Now, I got something to tell. Somebody sent me a bunch of things about seniors. And here's the best one. A lot of things, what it said was good. But here's the best one, and here's what it says. To the seniors, don't ever, not ever, never, take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. That would be good advice. Anyway, praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. I want to ask you this question. This is the first day of the new year. But what did you accomplish for the Lord last year? Can you name one thing, one soul that you helped get saved? Can you name one person that you helped get back in church and in the house of God? If you get to thinking about it, the Lord is letting us live. But for what? What is a Christian life? What are we left here for? Here, I know you got a great preacher, a wonderful man of God, but you listen to sermons, walk out the door, the same person that you came in, but never ever mention the name of Jesus after you leave. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was witnessing to a dear, precious black lady over in North Carolina, up around Greensboro, and she's taking me over the table. And the pastor I was with, and I said, "Ma'am, are you a Christian?" She looked at me, and she said, "I'm in the fog, F-O-G, full of God." But how many people did you witness to this year? How many of you know somebody dropped out of church? Did you go see them? Still say, "Oh, so-and-so quit going to church." And I had one pastor said, "I'm not going to. They know where the church is." Well, that's not what we've been left here for. We've been left here to carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was looking at this, Brother Billy. If everybody did this year, you're going to double what you have now. And the sad part is that one day the scripture says, over in the little epistle of John says, chapter 2, many shall be ashamed before the Lord as his at his appearing. How would you like to appear before the Lord empty-handed? Nobody you ever helped to Jesus. How would you like that? How would you like to meet your record, church record? And you will when Jesus comes. We'll stand before the Lord and give an account of our lives. And we can make all kinds of resolutions. I call it commitment to Christ. I want to preach this morning on what a Christian can lose. If you're looking at epistles, a little epistle I gave you a moment ago, and 2 John, look down in verse number 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or gained, but that we receive a full reward. Notice what it said, that we receive a full reward on the things which we have wrought, done for Jesus Christ. But can you imagine, I was in Chilhowee, Virginia, years back in the 60s, and a young man who was a quarterback for Chilhowee High School, and his family, and of course in those days they had the apple orchards, and many people worked and didn't make a lot of money, and none in those days did. And anyway, one night, on Sunday night, this lady came up, she and her husband, and said, Jimmy, and got to go to the court, and he got a ticket. I don't know who was speeding or what he was doing, or anyway, had to go. And said, we can't get off, would you? I said, I'd be glad to. So on the way up there, I said, Jimmy, if I can get in to see that judge, son, I know I can help you. And I got permission to go in. And then he said, when I went in and I told him who I was and what I was there for, and he said, preacher, I would, but notice on my desk. And I looked up there and there's a stack of things like, you know, so high. And he said, that's what I got today to come before me. Once they're there, I can't help him here, but when he comes up there, I'll help him. So I sat there and watched people come before the judge. Now, I remember one lady, she's, I'd say between 30 and 35 and 40, somewhere middle 30s. But anyway, and she came up and she's just a shaking. I mean, man, she just a and the judge said, ma'am, they got you. How fast were you going? She said, 35. And I can see that judge laugh now. And he said, well, I kind of think he's going faster than 35. He said, they got you going for 250 yards down the median, down the middle, going across the interstate and knocking some poles down on the other side. And I kind of think you were going faster than that. But can you imagine standing before the Lord? Can you imagine standing as a believer? And here's your record. You can't say that because he's got it down. The Word of God says we must stand, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and our work shall be tried of what sort it is. Now, let me give you three things that we cannot lose. And then I want to give you about six or seven things that we can, and we ought to be out of here by three. Hey, I'm kidding. But notice here, first of all, would you turn with me to the Gospel of John right quickly? I'll go slow and so you can find the scriptures. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, and it tells us in John chapter 5 and verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, that means we now possess everlasting life, now notice, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed. I like that little word, is passed from death unto life. Now, we have eternal life. He talked about here that, and right here, the Word of God talks about, and is passed from, we have been, and will be, and in that day. But now notice something else. In John chapter 3 and verse number 36, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 36, and he said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How do you like that? We have everlasting. I'm not holding out. I'm enjoying being a Christian. But you have everlasting life. We ought to act like it. Now, John 10 and verse number 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I like that. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I like that. Now, notice two things. He said everlasting life, and then he says eternal life. Everlasting life tells you the kind it is, and eternal life tells you how long it lasts. How you like that? I like that. We ought to be shouting right now. We have everlasting life. Now, will you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Now, I want you to listen to what it says here. He said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, and he said, let me begin here. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come and the present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that. Thank God for that. Now, I want to give you something here now in the Gospel of John again, chapter number 14. And I love this verse, chapter 14 and verse number 16. Always take your Bible to the house of God. Always. I say people that don't bring their Bible to church don't read it at home. But anyway, notice what it said in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for 6 months. If you got that, you got an NIV. But he says here, I love it. Abide with you forever. There's a mother said to her young boy one day, said on a Sunday morning, she said, son, I come into the bedroom. Mother, not able to get up. I don't feel good. I'm sick. And said, I want you to go to church now today. And when you come back, said, I want you to tell your mother what the preacher preached. So he came back after service, and she said, come in, son, and tell me what the pastor preached today. Said, oh, he preached on a quilt. He talked. The whole sermon was about a quilt. And she said, you know better than that. Said, no, man, his whole thing was about a quilt. And so that afternoon, one of the neighbors came in to check on her, and she said, please tell me what our pastor preached today. She said, he preached the greatest sermon I've ever heard on another comforter. He knew it was something that covered him. I want you to know we cannot lose our salvation. We cannot lose. I don't care. You say, well, I'm so-and-so. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But I tell you one thing. If you've been born again, if God does not chasten you, you've never been born again. And you know how you know you're a Christian? Because God will chasten you and everything. And because you are one of his children. But now let me give you some things right quickly that you can lose as a believer. Number one, the Bible says here in the Word of God that we have, we can lose our first love. Remember when you first got saved? I remember I got saved when I was 12 years old. You know what I did? I immediately joined the church. I turned around. They're going to have a baptizing that afternoon in Wills Creek on the south end of Fort Payne, Alabama. And So I was baptized in a creek. And by the way, there was a dead hog about 50 yards up where we were getting baptized in that creek on July the 4th, 1943. You know what I did that night? I ran back to church. Did you know what I know? I'd get up and I'd testify every time I had a chance. I found Jesus put something in me. I want everybody to know about it. And you know what? Some of the older people said, son, you'll get over it. But now they're dead and gone. But if they were here, I'm going to tell them I didn't get over it. I didn't remember when you first got saved, the joy. I'm telling you, you want to be in church every time the door's open. But I wonder what happened to it. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that there was a joy. Notice here what he saw. He said, here at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, man, they started off, I mean, big time. But you know what the Bible says in Acts chapter 19? That the church of Ephesus had lost its first love. I mean, they used to. Did you used to sing in the choir? You don't now. I used to teach a Sunday school. You don't now. Used to never miss a service, but you do now. What you do is you lose your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I wish sometimes you could stand in the pulpit and look back and see if you could get blessed. The joy of the Lord. I've never told anybody I was discouraged, but one time, and I told it to my wife. And the reason I did that, when I was pastoring there in Chattanooga, and for 11 years, we had somebody saved every Sunday. And during that time, but I mean, God was blessing the church. And you don't understand the burden of a pastor. You don't understand about Brother Billy and things like that. Some people got the idea that, I remember I walked in the dentist office in Chattanooga back in the 70s when I pastored there. And I knew this lady. She's a red-headed lady, and I knew her daddy, and so on and so forth. And she said, well, here comes that man that works one day a week. I said, no, ma'am, you got that wrong. I preach Wednesday night. I preach a day and a half. The easiest job of a pastor is preaching. The easiest job of a preacher is to preach. But it's, well, you got a problem, the preacher's got a problem. If you're burdened, if you've got a death, whatever it is, it's up on that pastor. And so one time we had some 30-something people in different hospitals. Now, I was on television every Sunday morning, and I watched my program and got happy watching me preach. But God, if you can't shout on your own preaching, you're in a mess. But anyway, I came, and I went to see a man. In the meantime, two 14-year-old boys got killed. My youngest son, Sammy, and a little young boy named Jody Walker. Jody and Sammy were talking over the telephone, and Jody said, Sammy, I got to mow the yard. And Alabama was playing football, and he's a football Alabama fan, number one tied. But anyway, he got out there in the yard, and the mailman, they kind of lived out in the rural area, and Jody went over to get the mail. Evidently, the kid didn't look, and he turned, and he died. Another young man about the same age fell off the back of a truck about a couple, 3 weeks later. And what you don't understand is you got a burden. You got a, I mean, man, your people are hurting. And I mean, hospitals here and this here and this here. And I went over to pray for a man in Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. I went over there, and I was, when I'm praying for him, I said, Lord, somebody needs to pray for me. I'm praying for him. I was empty. I'm talking about I just literally empty. I got home and Joy's out in the yard, and I said, babe, come on, get in the car. She said, what is it? I said, Lord, just come on, get in the car. And she got in the car, and she said, what is it, honey? I said, I went over there to pray for that man, and I need somebody to pray for me. I don't have anything left. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to resign the church and get me a job from 8 to 4, and I can be with the boys and with you. She said, I've never seen you this way before. I said, I've never been this way before. And so we started down through East Ridge, and I got down to Edson's, and they closed after 50 years. But she said she had never eaten there before. And she said, is it good? I said, oh, honey, they got good veggies. We love vegetables. And got in there and walked in the door. And I just remember, how low I was. I went in. Now, here's somebody. No sooner got in, I heard somebody say, hey, preacher, how you doing? Well, I got through telling you how I was doing. And I crossed my fingers and I said, I told when you was a kid, if you could lie and cross your fingers, it wouldn't count. So I crossed my fingers and I said, great, man. He said, I watched your TV program yesterday morning. He said, I mean, man, you stirred me up. I wasn't even going to church because I just didn't want to go. He said, "What time you got through?" I hollered at my wife, said, "Come on, let's go to church. This preacher's got me stirred up." And here's the kicker. He said, "Preacher, whatever you do, don't quit." I scooted down in that booth and started crying. George said, "What is it?" I said, "I'm ready to go again." You understand what I'm saying? Hey, you can lose your joy. You can lose the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. It don't make any difference how bad it is. Thank God the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can lose that joy. Joy. David said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Is there joy in your heart tonight or today? Is it real thrill? I mean, man, could you hardly wait to come to the house of God today? Could you hardly wait to come back to the house of God tonight? I don't understand people that think, well, you don't have to go to church all the time. No, you don't have to. But I tell you one thing, I hope the Lord comes on a Sunday night. Hey, I can imagine the preacher preaching. Brother Billy standing up here preaching. All of a sudden, he disappears. And the chairman of the deacon said, "Where did the preacher go?" I hope he comes on a Sunday. Catch you down at the lakes and golfing courses and everywhere else but the house of God. Visiting kin folks or just getting away for the weekend. I tell you, thank God. I don't know when he's coming, but it would be good for him to come on a Sunday. It would be good for him to come and catch us out of here. But you're going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account of your life. That's why we have revivals. Revivals are not for sinners. It's for the saints of God. You can lose your joy, but you can lose that first love you had. Has your wife ever said to you, "Do you love me like you used to?" Let me tell you about my wife, Miss Joy. I called her this morning, said, "I love you, baby." If I'm home, every time she comes to the living room, wherever I'm sitting, I say, "Hey, I love you, baby." I've had people say, "What do you do that for?" I said, "It's got me a lot of biscuits and gravy." The joy and that love. The church at Ephesus lost their first love. They've lost that first love. The excitement. I couldn't hardly wait to get here this morning. I knew I was coming over, Brother Billy. And we're going to worship Jesus. Not about me. It's about worshiping the Lord. Did you get up this morning? I'll repeat again. Did you get up this morning and say, "Thank God, it's Sunday. Time to go down to the house of God and hear the word of God and meet with the saints of God." When you get, come on. We got to go to church. If we don't, Brother Billy's going to be calling us. Oh, no. Oh, no. What a joy. I was thinking the other day, Brother Billy, about what they did to my Jesus. They plucked his beard out. They said his face swelled. It didn't even look like a human. They took him and beat him across the back. Even was there, naked, humiliated. But he did that because he loved me. He loved you. There would be no church if he had not died. There'd be no salvation had he not taken that beating. But it was for you. I just hadn't got over it. I have people say, "You mean you're still shouting?" I said, "I started this way, and I'm going to end up that way." Hallelujah. Don't lose the joy. Don't lose the thrill and that love for Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible said in Matthew 24:12, "Because iniquity shall abound, the many shall grow cold." Because we see things, man, we're seeing things we've never seen before. Our nation is facing things. Once the Supreme Court passed that
bill concerning homosexuals. They officially made us a Sodom and Gomorrah nation by doing that. And we got the days of Noah. And I was telling somebody a while ago, I was watching about the days of Noah. And in chapter 6, it said the earth was filled with violence. Now twice in chapter 6, it said earth filled with violence. And I was watching Fox News a few weeks ago. And on the call line said, world filled with violence. I said, they've been reading Genesis. Hey, Brother Billy, according to the word of God, he could come at any time. Hey, I hope you catch some of y'all sitting home Sunday night watching TV. What I'm saying is, it's about Jesus. It's about him. You can lose your joy. You can lose not only your joy, but your love. Not only that, you can lose your courage. A lot of people don't witness. Peter, remember Peter cursed? He denied, you know, he knowing Jesus and all that. You can lose that courage. Elijah was a great man. If you read 1 Kings chapter 17, old Elijah's praying 63 words and fire comes down. And then it hadn't rained. And Ahab said, go and look. And he looked seven times. And he come back, and there's a little cloud out there. Somebody said, the size of a man's hand didn't say. It says, like a man's hand. Regardless, he said, get down out here in abundance of rain. I mean, man, he got down. And he outran Ahab's chariot all the way up to Jezreel, where Hillary was. I mean, Jezebel was. Next chapter is Jezebel sends a note. And then we see him under a tree wishing that he might die. You can lose your courage. You can lose that courage you had for Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to tell people that you love Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell them on your job or school or whatever it might be. You can lose that courage and your boldness and your zeal. I think if we're going to be excited about anything. Now, I know Brother Billy, he's a Florida State football fan. And I pulled for him yesterday. Did you pull for Alabama? Good. But what is it really melts your butter? What is that really turns you on? Is it Jesus? Are the things of this life. There's nothing wrong with what I just said. But the number one priority is Jesus. That's it. Jesus. You can lose your courage. Not only that, you can lose your vision. I remember when I first got saved, I'd go to school. I'd tell them. I'd called to preach when I was 13. I helped conduct a revival when I was 14. A man lived right in front of the church that wasn't a pastor at that time, and we'd moved down to town off the Lookout Mountain right up the top of Fort Payne there, Fort Payne, Alabama. And he came over to the house and said, son, God wants you to help me in a meeting. I got a letter from eight women down in Collinsville, Alabama, about 15 miles south of Fort Payne toward Birmingham. And Copeland Bridge Baptist Church. And the letter said, there's eight women holding this church together. If revival don't come, we're going to have to shut it down. He said, I'll preach tonight, you preach tonight. Brother Billy, we had so many people saved that week. Now, you know, the 14-year-old boy don't know much. But as long as you got Jesus and God. We went 2 weeks. Right after the end, they built a new church. What I'm trying to say, after all these years, it's getting better. I'm more excited. I wish some of y'all would be. I'm just talking about you can lose your courage. You can lose your courage and your vision. And see, who do you know's lost your vision? And then you can lose your testimony. When I pastored, I'd have people say, Mr. and Ms. So-and-so, they live next to me. Why should I go to a church? They don't go half the time. What do your neighbors, what you load up for on Sunday? You may not have a good testimony where you live. They watch you infrequent in your life or down on your job, wherever it is, in school, wherever it is. You can lose your testimony. Lot lost his testimony. Even his own children mocked him. Down in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they mocked him. You never hear much of Lot later because of what he did. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. A Sunday school teacher asked a boy, and boys and girls said, "Do you believe Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt?" Little boy said, "I do." Said, "Mother got in a car and turned into a telephone pole today." You can lose your testimony. Last of all, you can lose your reward. Revelation 3:11. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." That no man take thy crown. Let me go back. Did you drive a church bus? Did you drive singing the choir? There's a crown for faithfulness. As a believer, just because you got your name on a church roll don't mean you're faithful. And just because you say you're a Christian don't mean you're faithful. Don't mean. Listen, if Jesus is who he says he is, and he is. And if Jesus died on the cross, and he did. If he rose again the third day, he did. And we never share that with lost people. We never share that with those that have fallen by the wayside. You see here, there's a reward. There's a reward. One of the most precious ladies I ever met in my life was a lady in Chilhowee, Virginia. She was 70 years old. She and her husband lived right behind the church, about a couple of blocks. He wasn't able to go to church. He wasn't sick. But she was there. And Brother Billy, you talk about a woman that could get in touch with God. You talk about somebody that was faithful, dedicated. Our church in Chilhowee, Virginia, was in the Southern Baptist Convention. And we baptized more people in 5.5 years than any other single Southern Baptist church in the state of Virginia. But she was one of the reasons. One day, Mrs. Rector fell and broke her hip. Finally, she got able to come back to church, and she'd come back on a crutch. People help her up the steps. They got it ramp now. One Thursday afternoon, my phone rang. I was at the house. I picked up the phone, and somebody said, "Woo-hoo, woo-hoo." I said, "Who is this?" "Oh, this is Martha Rector. I just led somebody to Jesus." Crutch, a car that you had to shift gear. Just about every Thursday, my phone would ring. Woo! Back in the hills, winning people to Christ. 20 years later, I'm in revival at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Kingsport. And the pastor said to me, "You don't have to go to Mars. I'll pick you up for lunch. We're going out to the nursing home." I said, "Okay." And a young couple had come and sat right on the front. It was a little late. She worked at the hospital, had a white uniform on. She came to me and she said, "I heard you talk about Martha Rector." I said, "Oh, man, what a wonderful lady, committed Christian." said, she's in that nursing home. I just turned to the pastor, Brother Joe, and he's in heaven now. And I said, pick me up. I'm going with you. I got there in that little chapel where they were, and a nurse is standing by the side of me at the door. I said, where's Martha Rector? Said, that's her in that wheelchair. I went down there, and she loved me and Miss Joy. I'm talking about, she was just, anyway, I put my hand, she didn't know, and I walked in front of her. She started crying. She said, oh, preacher, I wish I could get out of here and go win somebody to Jesus. That nurse said, preacher, everybody in that ward wasn't saved, he is now. 95 years old. It pays. It pays to serve Jesus. I'd like to receive a reward. There's these gospel singers that we're going to wear a crown and dance around. No, if we receive a crown, we'll lay it at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. I read a story and I'm through. It stirred my heart. I read about a race that everybody in the race started with a lit torch. But the winner of the race was not necessarily, or the one who crossed the line first was not necessarily the winner. It was the one who crossed the finish line with a lit torch. A lit torch. That's what I had when I first got saved. And I want to cross the line with a lit torch. True story. Man stood on the corner of the town, I can name his town, passing out tracts every day. Stood there passing out tracts. Years went by and he just got discouraged, didn't feel like he'd accomplishing anything. And he left and went to another town. In the meantime, another person started standing on that corner, passing out tracts. This man decided to go back to the town and start again. But when he got there, this man was passing out tracts. It is said he started crying. He said, he got my crown. He got my crown. Revival's about Jesus. Revival is about commitment. Revival is about surrender. Not just to come and hear a sermon. Not just to come to hear the singing. But if ever been a time that we need revival in our churches, it's now. But you know what? Many churches are having four Mondays or four Sundays, and because people won't come. They don't come. I have some friends in Bristol. I have a dear friend. They don't have revivals anymore. He said, people won't come. I have pastors say to me, I'm sorry, they just don't come to revivals like they used to. Brother Billy, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with us? We think we're just going to, you know, come to church, hear a sermon, dismiss, go home. No, it's about Jesus. And what you do in this revival might determine if somebody's saved or lost. Or somebody needs help. Or are you so cold and indifferent it don't come matter whether you come back tonight or tomorrow night? It does matter. because you're a representative of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, read the book. He said, go even more so as you see that day approaching. Go to church more. If I were to say to you, how many of you believe Jesus could come today, I promise you everybody here would raise your hand. You don't believe that. If you did, you'd be in church tonight. You'd be in revival. If you believe that. But if you don't, then you don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't lose what you have gained. Don't ask you something. How many of you know somebody that's lost? Would you raise your hand? Wow. How many of you know somebody that's dropped out of church? Would you raise your hand? I'm going to ask you in a minute to come here and stand in the gap for that person and ask God to give you the burden and the desire to help them back or get saved, whatever it might be. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, He loved you and gave His life for you. If you're here today and there's a time you walk closer to God, more faithful than you are now, you need to come down here and ask God, I surrender. I want to get back where I ought to be. Everything you got's Jesus. The air you breathe, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, He owns it all. Hallelujah for Jesus. What a wonderful Lord and what a wonderful Savior that we have that would love us that much. Let's stand with our heads bowed. He'll come and get a song. Just search your heart a moment. What have you lost? Where's your commitment? Where's your surrender? Nobody ought to have to be begged to do anything for the Lord. While they're coming to play, to you that raised your hand and said, I know somebody that's lost, or I know somebody that's dropped out of church. You don't have to kneel, you can stand, but if you want to kneel, that's great. Oh, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Calling today, fields are white, but the laborers are few. Laborers are needed. Laborers are needed. Calling, urging. You're standing in the gap for a soul. You did come to pray for the lost. And to those that come to pray for those that dropped out of church, you might be the one that God used to get them back in church. If you do what God says to do. In the name of Jesus. This is serious business. I mean, it's the only business that we're in as believers. It's pathetic to see the indifference that's sweeping our churches. It's pathetic. Of people who say they love God and been born again, He died on a cruel cross. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want Him to sing a verse of a song and then I'll pray. But I wonder, you that are here, just stay here until the service is ended. Just stay here. If you get through praying, you can stand. But our loving Heavenly Father, I thank You for the liberty and freedom to preach Thy word. Thank You. You don't know the needs. I don't know who they're praying for or how near eternity they may be. They might be the only one standing in the gap for that person. Or to those that are praying for those that have gotten out of church, might be the only one can help them get back into the house of God and get right with the Lord. And so I pray they'll listen and follow Christ. While he sings one verse, anyone here needs to get right with the Lord? Anybody here this morning lost? While you sing, my buddy, would you do that now for me? All to Jesus. Can you say that this morning? Can all of you say that? Jesus says in his word, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And he said even more so as you see that day approaching. And in that day approaching is there's a great falling away and indifference among church people. There's a great falling away. Great. I surrender all.